Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it a demon in their house and what did it want from them?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. If you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. It's always a pain when you're not quite sure if it's a demon in your house.
I know.
Or a possum. You know, they do look kind of similar sometimes, and they make similar noises, so I can understand the confusion when that,
you know,
does happen.
I got to be honest. Like, one thing I don't get, I was thinking about this morning, because my neighbors have a
possum,
a pet door, which allows possums to come in. Like, okay, so if your cat or dog can get in and out, that means a possum can get in and out. And one of my friends has a raccoon in her house every freaking night.
What?
Every night. And she keeps posting it like, what do I do? I'm like, I know, keep the cats inside.
Shut the door. I don't know. That's the idea. I am amazed at all the times that I have conversations with people now, and you express the simple solution that should be very obvious to them, and they look at you like you're crazy. Like,
because maybe nighttime's just for sleeping.
Huh?
You don't need to go outside, cats.
Well, if your raccoons are coming in your house and you know exactly where it's coming from, you would clog that hole, and that's the door. So you'd shut it. Or lock it.
Their idea was to trap it, and then they rehomed it to another location far away. God.
You're going
to
get more raccoons. That's not...
Well, here's the thing. There's not just one raccoon in your neighborhood.
Yeah. If raccoons are getting into your house, you lock the door at night, and that's the solution.
They're smelling the food leaving out for those
people
cats.
Try to create like seven more steps into everything now than it really needs to be. It's like, no, this is, and then they call it efficient. Like, look at, I'm really being, no, you're not. You're being an idiot. You're being a
Then you
complete,
had to trap a raccoon and take it all the way to somewhere else. Just shut the damn door.
I know. I'm amazed every day by what I have to explain to people.
Like, and the thing is, I really love this person. I think she's a great person, but I'm like, this is not that hard.
Yeah.
The cats can stay inside and just sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them safe.
I know.
Coming from the girl who doesn't even, like, my cats go out on supervised visitations to the backyard, mm-hmm. only with me. And yours don't even go out at all anymore after that ordeal.
No, they are barricaded behind several brick walls. Right. And they're fed once a week. A whole bag of food just pours from the ceiling. I don't even physically interact with them anymore out of fear that they're going to try and get out. So it's very much solitary confinement. But they seem to be doing well. One's, you know, eating the tail off of the other. But other than that, they seem to be
other
real happy.
Other than that, it's fine. One's just turned into cannibalistic cat.
Exactly.
But it's fine.
Other than that, they're good. They're all good. Let's go to a phone call and hear the ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony. I've been a fan of the show for over 2 years now. I have written some stories before, and I have finally found the guts to start calling and sharing my experiences over the phone with my own voice, just to give it a little bit more zest into the story. I have a lot of stories to share, but I'm going to start little by little. Well, not little, because this story I'm about to tell, I would say it's one of the most stressful and emotionally draining episodes in my life. I haven't told this to anybody. Only me and my sister know, because it happened to my sister firsthand, and then it happened to me secondhand. So over back in 2021, when the pandemic was over and everybody was able to go back to school and to work, basically my sister had a boyfriend. She broke up with him. From my feeling, it felt that he little bit, like, I guess, mad at her for breaking up with him. So I don't know if the one that's responsible for this experience to happen to my sister. So to say it fast, this happened to her 3 consecutive nights. So the first night, she was asleep. She had an episode of sleep paralysis. She said that she mentioned that there was, that she opened her eyes and that there was this really tall shadow looking figure, in her doorway, not inside her room, but just in the hallway, like as if it's going to come inside her room. So when from her description, she said that it lasted for like 10 minutes. And the sleep paralysis went away. She opened her eyes, and the door was closed. Before she had imagined that she saw it, that it was open, and she saw this shadow figure being looking over her. So this was the first night. The second night, she said that she was asleep. She was just laying down, and that out of the sudden, she felt that her door opened. She was told me that she was laying to the side, and that out of the nowhere she heard that the door opened, and that she opened her eyes and she saw this thing again on the doorway, but not inside her room. After some minutes passed, she said that she saw this thing move and crawl into her bed and lay down next to her. So this was the second night. The sleep paralysis went away because from what she told me, she said that she started praying when she felt this thing laying down next to her. And after she finished praying, this thing left and she felt okay. On the third night is when she had it. It was the night that made her cry. And my sister's a really, really strong person. She's tough. It's hard for her to cry. So on this third night, she said that, again, same thing. She woke up. She was paralyzed. She was laying with her back on the bed, and she opened her eyes and she saw this shadow thing. I'm not gonna say its name because I know this name. She opened her eyes and she saw this thing floating on top of her, just staring at her. Even though, from what she said, it did not have a face, but she felt this thing staring at her. She closed her eyes, still paralyzed, and she started praying again. This thing, she opened her eyes, and the thing was not there. But then out of the sudden, this thing just appeared. It got really, really close to her face, and it shouted at her, "No estés rezando." So what it translates to is that it means, don't be praying. That's what it translates. So we come from Mexican culture, and we believe in San Maria and like praying to the Virgin Mary. I pray to the angels, to the archangels, to the saints, and all. So when she closed her eyes and she started praying, she started praying El Ave Maria. It's the prayer for the Virgin Mary. I don't know what it's called in English. But she started praying for the Virgin Mary. And when she opened her eyes, well, this thing told her not to pray. And that's when, after it told her that, she felt in danger, that this thing was going to hurt her if she went to sleep again. So after that happened, she told me right away, and I started to feel this very drenching feeling in my stomach. So I told her that I was going to try to fix it. I don't consider myself like a witch. I do practice a little bit of Santeria, but I, like I said, I don't consider myself a witch. I just think that I believe in it. So I told her that I'm able to sleep in my room and that I'll sleep in her room to see what I can do. So I go to sleep in her room. I'm assuming from my investigation and my speculation that this thing is triggering her. Well, not triggering her, but this thing is trying to do something to her, because the first night she said that it was like lurking into her room. So I go to her room, I light up some candles. I do my prayers. I sprinkle a little bit of holy water and then start praying to the angel that I pray to. So the angel that I pray to a lot is I don't know what it's called in English, but it's Miguel, el Angel Miguel, and I think it's Michael Angel. I believe, so I'm not wrong. I'm really bad translating from Spanish to English. So I start praying al Angel Miguel, el Angel. So I'm praying. I go to sleep, and I don't go to sleep in my back because I know that sleeping on my back triggers my sleep paralysis. So I wake up in the middle. Well, I'm assuming it's the middle of the night. I open my eyes, and then this thing is the same on top of me, looking at me and screaming, "No esté rezando, no esté rezando, no esté rezando," and it starts to get louder. So what I do, I keep my eyes open, and I say, "Oh," and I'm getting shivers. I'm getting escalofrios on my spine again, just thinking about it, remembering. And I start praying as hard as I can. I start praying as Padre Nuestro. I start praying to the angels. I start conjuring every single angel that I can think of at that time. And I ask them to help me destroy this thing and to never come back. So while I'm laying down in my back, I start to feel the room that it starts shaking. And I keep praying in my mind. I keep praying louder than this thing. And I keep telling them, "You don't give me the power. I'm not giving you the power. I won't give you the power. Leave me alone. Leave my sister alone. Leave this house. Leave this family alone." And out of the nowhere, I felt one of the angels, like I said, I believe in the angels. I felt one of the angels whisper its name in my ear. As soon as they told me its name, I said it as loud, and I said that, blank name is not welcome in this house, and don't you ever come back. As soon as I said its name and I said not to come back, the room started to stop shaking, and I was able to move again. And after that, my sister has not had any episode of sleep paralysis. She has not seen this thing anymore, and I have not seen this thing anymore. But yes, I just wanted to share this, the worst experience in my life, because I was really, really scared. I wasn't able to move, and I did really feel that this thing was going to hurt me, even though it wasn't doing anything. It was just kept yelling at me to not pray, but I kept praying. So, yeah, I just wanted to share this story. Thank you for creating this show, because when I feel down or sad or upset, when severe experiences happen to me, I listen to the show, and it's comfort for me because it makes me feel that I'm not the only person that's going through these things. So, yes. Goodbye, and thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Your thoughts on that, Carol?
You know, there are people in this world who are just way braver than me. So if, say, my sister Kathy was having, you know, she broke up with a boyfriend, a demon's kind of visiting her at night.
Happens.
Like, and then I would jump in and say, "You know what? I'm going to sleep in there tonight. I'll take care of this."
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way. Well, who's gonna get how these people get that kind of nerve.
Well, you're not going to take care of it. I don't think anybody really is if something like that's going on.
It sounds like she did a pretty good job with it.
She did, but I was kind of alarmed by a couple of things. She's like, I don't remember the name of who I'm praying to.
She said the English. She wasn't able to say
it. It was a translation thing.
Yeah.
Well, names don't necessarily translate.
Yeah. So she was praying to an angel that she refers to that angel in Spanish.
Okay.
But I'm glad that she didn't share. She said she knew who she was talking to as far as the demon, but wouldn't say the demon's name. I'm okay with that. I don't want to hear the demon's name. I draw the line at certain things. That's one of them.
You're but no demon guarantee.
Exactly.
That's what you get with Real Ghost Stories Online. We guarantee never to say the name of demons for your work day.
Yeah. We care.
We care.
And we keep that confidential.
Keeping the demons at bay. real ghost stories online.
I just think that it's just creepy. And I, you know, like, it all sounds connected to when she broke up with this guy. So I don't know if he's some sort of
wizard or warlock.
I don't know.
You have experience in the warlock.
I do have experience with warlocks myself.
Yep.
They can put hexes on you. I was threatened with that many times. And so maybe something like that happened. Or maybe it was all sleep paralysis in her case. But at the same time, when she goes in and sleeps there, the same thing happens to her.
Yeah.
Creepy shit.
It is. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is the phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.